98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
This is when Maloney takes over. She rifles through all of the big sports news in the last 24 hours, and especially anything that's already broken this morning. So you get the latest. We give you our opinions. You tweet us at DougAndWolf987 to tell us, man, that was a brilliant opinion. Or just rip us and make us feel small. Whatever you need to do.
So the Phoenix Suns are gearing up to host the Clippers in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals as Chris Paul's been ruled out for tonight's matchup. Here's Magic Johnson from First Take yesterday.
So I think the Clippers need Kawhi, and Kawhi probably wants to play and redeem himself, just like we're seeing Paul George stepping up because of what happened last season. So I would say Kawhi needs to be back more for this series than Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns.
So I asked you guys the same exact question. Do you think the Clippers need Kawhi Leonard more than the Suns need CP3 in the Western Conference Finals?
Yes, because Kawhi Leonard can stop just about anybody defensively, and they need him for that. Everything he gives you offensively is why the guy's already a Hall of Famer, but they need his defense, and the Suns have already proven they can beat the Clippers without Chris Paul, and I think the Suns can play even better. They were a little slow on some defensive rotations to cover the corner threes. I think they can play even better, which means they'll win game two if they play better. So, yeah, they need Kawhi.
Yeah, the Clippers definitely need Kawhi more than the Suns need CP3. And the reason being, of course, is because there's talent here with this team.
Yes.
I think that the Suns are more talented. I think they play better as a team, and I think they are tough. It's the one thing, I know the Clippers have a tough reputation as well, but the Suns are way tougher than a lot of people give them credit for. And it's that new money reason once again. New money all of a sudden is not respected like old money. 7 months since Chris Paul has been here, and that's the reason why the Suns don't get the amount of respect they deserve, because they're new money.
So, our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and the question is, who needs to step up in CP3's absence if the Suns wish to win Game 2? Is it Campaign? Is it Jay Crowder? DeAndre Ayton? Or someone else?
Boy, that is a good one. You could D.A., Mikal Bridges, Campaign, Jay Crowder.
Yeah, that was a question. She said all that.
I'm going to say D.A., I'm going to say DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton, I'd love to see him have a monster game. A guy that Mike Watt get 25 and 16.
Maybe like a 9.7 on the rage meter.
That maybe DA will tap into the rage meter and shimmy shake on the rim. Slam it home. Dunk it, DA.
Now, okay, question. If he does go off, do you promise... And I mean promise, you come in tomorrow and drop some bars.
Wait a minute, don't I get a vote? Yes, of course I will.
Man has children.
Right,
don't let Wolf do this.
I will do it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll drop some bars.
Dunk.
Maloney, you did not see the look on Jay Will's face when he was talking about clubbing to Wolf.
You know,
and now
honestly,
you ask for bars.
We ought to play that right now for Jay Will. I mean, just go ahead, blow out the Rush Hour Reboot. No offense, Mal. And then just go ahead and play that for Jay Will right now.
This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Clubbing with the Doug and Wolf Show.
Turn my music.
No.
Okay, I didn't know we actually did this.
No.
I didn't know we actually imaged this.
No, Mike.
You had asked us to make a sounder.
Exactly.
And then you never wanted it.
I know. This is clubbing with Doug and Wolf.
Yes, that's what the big voice
when
said.
When were we going to actually play this, though? Think about it. When were we going to play it? When we had a bone to pick with somebody, right?
Okay,
that's
so then
we
do you have a
we're
bone
clubbing.
To pick with Magic Johnson?
I would tell Jeannie I would add some money to get CP3, you know.
Well,
because it'd be perfect for LeBron, it would be perfect for AD,
and be perfect for the role players. He makes the game so easy, and you're going to get shots that you've never gotten before.
Okay, Magic.
$24 million is that going to be worth the price, Robert? I'm curious how you would make a decision like that for keeping someone like Chris Paul.
That's not a hard decision.
Okay, good.
There you go.
Magic. Sit down, quick.
What is the quick? Listen, I will
That's old school right there. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That is Joe Frazier right there.
That's right.
Muhammad Ali. Sit down, Joe.
Very good.
Sit down, quick.
I in no way will ever fault a man who just wants to go home. Okay. You, Chris Paul has done so much in this league. He has done so much for America. If this guy wants to go home and be able to raise his family in L.A. and play for the Lakers or the Clippers, I do get it. As much as that'll hurt, I'm not going to get in the way of a man wanting to go home. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think people understand how much Chris Paul has dreamed of a scenario to work for a coach that wants to be his partner and doesn't have an ego involved in it, and for him to have a collection of talent around him who wants to work as hard as he does, and it's not a Blake Griffin type of, I like you now, I don't like you now, and isn't worried about their own attention. Name a superstar he's ever going to work with, like Devin Booker, who doesn't care if he's getting all the attention within the team. Devin Booker cares about all-star games. Don't let it fool you. He cares about all pros, but he doesn't care about whether or not Chris Paul gets attention along with him. And then the collection of talent, this is exactly what CP3 has dreamed of. And if the owner's willing to pay for it, I don't think Chris Paul's going anywhere.
What a mercenary Chris Paul would be if he did.
But like I said,
unbelievable,
if he wanted to go
mercenary.
Listen, it's his best friend and his family lives there. I
know.
Mean, I get
I'm saying right now, are you kidding? What if, in fact, he does win a world championship with the Suns and he's gone? Bam! That would be the ultimate mercenary move,
man. It would. I just think he's been dreaming of a moment. Like he didn't know when it would happen or where it would happen. And he didn't know who it would even be with. But there's no way there's anything he's lacking with what the Suns are providing right now.
Man, that would just be like the Visigoths camping on the Danube River and picking up and moving to a new river. Are you kidding me, Douglas? No way.
I admit.
He's not that big a mercenary.
So we have Stephen A. Smith comparing Devin Booker to Kobe and you comparing CP3 to the Visigoths. So I wasn't prepared for that, I admit. Coming up next, the one. Can the Suns do it again without CP3 in Game 2? And a question we don't really want to ask, how many more games do they have to do it without him? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Sit down, Joe. Sit down, quick.
The number one story of the day.
The reality is, when you tested positive for COVID, even if you were fortunately symptom-free or mostly symptom-free, you were looking at 2 weeks, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to play this series, but I don't know exactly when.
I would say Kawhi needs to be back more for this series than Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Man, jacked up today to have Jay Williams live in studio for an hour and 15 minutes, hopefully. You've enjoyed it as much as we have today. The Doug and Wolf Show live in the Auction Community Studios.
He was so good.
And the one is Game 2. Tip-off, 6 o'clock. Man, is it going to be crazy downtown today with our regular 5 o'clock traffic, people trying to get out of downtown to get home. Then there's a D-backs Brewers game, and the Diamondbacks are on a one-game winning streak. Yeah! So you've got that, and oh, by the way, now we got more. We need more than that, Mitch. And then it is a little worrisome, though, that Freddie Peralta's on the mound with his 087 whip, so that it could get a little hairy. And then tip-off is at 6 o'clock downtown of the Suns, so there's a lot going on downtown. I don't want to be the jerk that's trying to tell you how to live your life, but try to be patient on the roads and try to be patient with security and the mess that it'll be downtown. And if you could actually let a guy in front of you who's trying to merge, that might be nice.
Man, can they do it again? Can the Suns do it again?
I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
I'm going to say yes. Now, the thing that's crazy, though, is you do have to understand, winning tonight's game wins you nothing. Okay, the Clippers were down 0-2 in round one. The Clippers were down 0-2 in round two.
Taste it.
And the Clippers are here. So there's no problem with them being down 0-2. Yet just let this phrase wash over you. You know it's true mathematically, but hear it. Utah's out of the playoffs.
Yes.
Nobody can win a world championship unless they win a game in Phoenix.
I like that, Douglas.
Now, technically, you could say, well, you're wrong. The Clippers could win a game in Phoenix, go to the NBA Finals, and an Eastern Conference team wins. But you get the point.
Yes.
Somebody has got to beat the Suns in downtown Phoenix Suns Arena in order for the Suns not to be world champions.
Correct.
That's what we've earned. So getting this win tonight has got to make you feel good. And the way to do it is to really make it a one-man band. This team is so good. Paul George can't beat them by himself. Even without Chris Paul, Paul George cannot beat the Suns alone. And I actually think the game plan is make him try. Make him try.
So basically you're saying the game plan, it's more important for the Suns on the defensive side of the ball.
I totally believe that.
The offensive side.
Other than the one aspect of Ayton change nothing offensively. Keep attacking the rim on the pick and roll and forcing them to dive with you. And I don't care whether they sag, play sag coverage or not, you force them to worry about you and let Devin Booker and Campaign make the decision, where can we hurt this defense next? As long as Ayton makes those rim runs, offense is going to take care of itself. Booker's that good. There's no concerns offensively.
Yeah,
defensively, make Paul George go 1-on-3.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, in fact, that is the case right there, Douglas. I am a little worried about their offense. Can they do it again? Yes, they can if Devin Booker goes off again. I mean, they beat the Clippers by 6 points on the back of a legendary performance by Devin Booker. Legendary.
Here's why I'm not worried about that at all. And that is because it's exactly what Monty Williams said in that magical third quarter when Paul George started to get off. And what did Monty say? I had no problem. I love Devin Booker going tit for tat with him because he got everything within the offense.
Sure.
There's nothing has to change. You're just reading the defense. And if they're dumb enough to let Devin Booker beat them, knock yourself out. But as long as Ayton is setting that screen and then attacking hard on the dive, it creates for everybody else.
Once again, you know the Clippers are going to do everything they can to stop Devin Booker. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to do everything they can to mitigate Devin Booker and what Devin Booker was able to do.
I said the same thing, and Frank Vogel didn't listen and tried to stop DeAndre Ayton.
13 and 11. 40, 13 and 11, triple-double. And oh, by the way, scored or assisted on the last 43 of 50 points.
That is pretty legendary.
Now think about that for a minute. Scored or assisted on the last 43 of 50 points, the Suns won that game because of that stat. Now all of a sudden, he's got to go out and do that again? That's a tall order right there. Now listen, if Devin Booker gets off and plays the way that he did in game one, absolutely the Suns can win this game again. There's no doubt about that. Individuals, man, they can suck it up and do great things one at a time. One time, baby, they can do great things. A team can suck it up and play great. One time, baby. You can do anything to me one time. But multiple times? Can you go out and do it again? Can you do it again? Greatness is about consistently being great. Can they do it again on a consistent basis? That's the question. And we're going to all have front row seats tonight. How beautiful is that?
The thing that I look at game two as being so important is to, not in the old adage of being up 2-0 versus 1-1 or don't let the Clippers take home court advantage. You know, there's all the reasons why game two is important. But I think they pale in comparison to simply doubling down on proving to the Clippers you can win without Chris Paul. Because I'm a little worried about Chris Paul. Once it came out that he's not playing in game two, my fear is, wait, is it more than the positive test now? Is he actually showing symptoms? if he was fine or it clearly wasn't a false positive, because he would have been able to test negative by now if it was a false positive. So you can, and this is all speculation. Zero people in the Suns or the NBA have told me anything. So I want to be clear about that, but it's my knowledge of how the protocols work, not how the pandemic works. Mm. I'm not pretending to be an endemiologist. I'm not pretending to be someone that can pronounce endemiologist. See, I couldn't do it twice in a row.
I'll do that in the next segment.
Thank you. So therefore, this isn't really about COVID. It's about my knowledge of protocols. If he isn't playing in game two, there's a very real possibility he's not playing in game three,
yes,
game four, and we really have no idea when he plays. Robert Sarver was on CNBC's Power Lunch yesterday and made us feel somewhat good.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to play this series, but I don't know exactly when. You know, that's up in the air at this point. But I do know he's been actively engaged with our players, and fortunately during the season helped us set a foundation of, you know, winning culture and next man up. And we've got a number of players that are taking advantage of that opportunity and filled in really good last night and helped our team to a victory.
I just feel like if things were going swimmingly with COVID, Robert Sarver would have said, you know, we hope to have him for game three. We hope that works out. He didn't. And when you just say, you know, we expect him to be back in this series, that's so nebulous that I kind of feel like, uh-oh, he might not be back for a while. Winning game two without him doubles down on the fact we're better than you. So, Clippers, you've got to go well outside your comfort zone to beat us.
If I'm Monty Williams right now, based on Eanes, I am. I'm setting the table. I'm setting the table for this entire series with my guys, letting them know I have no idea if Chris Paul is going to be back in this series. As a matter of fact, I would go out and play this series as if he were not going to be able to come back and play in this series. I would set the table for my guys. I would say, literally, we have no idea about Chris Paul and whether or not he's going to come back and play. And honestly, this is still about us. This is still about how we go about our business right now. I would not expect anybody in this room to think that Chris Paul is going to play in this series. If I'm Monty Williams, that's exactly what I am telling my guys right now. Setting the table. Listen, you want to overcome something in your life, Basinonians? Admit the obvious. Admit the obstacle that you're going to have to face, because that's what getting over and getting past adversity is all about. Attacking the obstacles that are in front of you, acknowledging them. Before you can ever whip something, you've got to acknowledge that it exists first. The hard thing. Do the hard thing. And if I'm Monty Williams, I'm going to create that hard thing. We may not have Chris Paul this series. Get over it. We're still going to win this series. Acknowledge what you're faced with and beat it.
Coming up next, I sense, I don't know if doubt's the right word or just, Wolf will give you a word. This will be the tease. Wolf's going to give you a word next and describe his feelings on Devin Booker getting another triple-double. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Just to give you a clue, we have not yet played the sounder and called out a name for the 8 o'clock hour. So the tickets are still available. Now, when I say that, don't call right now. That does you no good, and your call won't even be answered. I just want to let you know that. The first thing you have to do is text TICKET to 620-620, and coming up in the next 28 minutes, we're going to announce one name, and only that name has a chance to win. But if they don't call in their 10 minutes, then we'll let you know you can steal that person's tickets. So keep listening in the next 28 minutes, and you might have a chance to hear your name and be a winner here on the Doug and Wolf Show for the hottest ticket in town, Game 2 tonight, tip-off. There's a lot of Suns topics to get to, but something just happened in the previous beautiful part of the program that I want to get deeper into, and that is you seem to have great appreciation for Devin Booker in game one, but yeah, you're not jumping on board that it's going to happen again in game two. That's taking it for granted.
Listen, right now, I think the Clippers are a pretty good defensive team. Would we agree on that, ladies and gentlemen, especially when Kawhi Leonard
I was going to say, not without Kawhi.
I think they're still a pretty tough team. I do, yeah, no doubt about it. I think this is a situation where they're going to do everything they can to make somebody else beat them other than Devin Booker. And why not, when you stop and think about the game that Devin Booker played in game one? Are you kidding me right now? Once again, to me, the stat that blows my mind is the fact the Suns won the game by 6 points, and Devin Booker either scored or assisted on the last 43 points of the last 50 points the Suns scored. Stop and think about that. That is the definition of winning a game and taking a game over down the stretch. The last 50 points they scored, he either assisted or scored the basket himself. That to me is, if you are Ty Lue, you're looking at that and you're saying anybody but Devin Booker, anybody. I don't care if we got to run three guys at him, anybody but Devin Booker. And I'm being a little facetious, but I think you get my point. And I think it's going to be very tough sledding for Devin Booker tonight. Now, again, it doesn't mean he can't go out there and be legendary, of course. We saw it. He was legendary. He's already done it. I just think that each game is a game unto itself when you get into the postseason. And each strategy, each game has a different strategy that is affected. And I honestly think we're going to see something different from the Clippers tonight in regard to stopping Devin Booker.
I think it starts with DA doing what he did, getting to the rim to force the Clippers defense to worry about him. Now, I think I know what Frank Vogel, I'm still laughing about the way he coached in the round one. I think I know what Ty Lue is going to try to do, that the second the screen roll starts, it's going to be a blitz of Devin Booker right there, an immediate trap on Devin Booker, and trying to get the ball out of his hands even earlier than they did. And then it'll be up to Jay Crowder, up to Mikal Bridges, up to Cam Johnson, up to Campaign to be smart with the basketball, hit the open three, but don't settle. And see, can you get the ball back to Devin Booker? Because there's going to be some changes that go on in this game.
T. Lou did that by covering for Black.
And T. Lou's going to do some things.
He was covering for Black.
He's going to do some things that's going to change things up in a heartbeat. So that's going to happen. If you don't remember, that's from the Cavs series.
If my last name is Blatt, I'm doing something with that.
Blatt was trying to call a timeout that the Cavs didn't have, and his assistant coach, Tyronn Lue, saved the day.
The only thing I'm not doing is adding an E or an R after the end of it.
Right, T. Lue did that by covering for Blatt.
Yes.
By the way, have you ever heard any of the Suns players say, well, we had to cover for Williams?
Right.
No, it's either coach or his first name. Oh, Monty did this. No one says.
T. Lue did that by covering for Blatt.
Blatt.
But anyway, the point is,
I know it's spelled different, but still, Blatter? No, I'm not doing that.
They are going to blitz Devin like crazy. But if you didn't get a chance to hear Jay Williams was in here, and remember, this is a national champion point guard who I think would have been a great NBA point guard if it wasn't for things that happened in his life. And because of that, he was explaining that the hardest thing is when defenses constantly change on you. And that's what's going to happen to D-Book tonight. But what's great about that, this team has stunk for 11 years. For 5 years, he saw all of these defenses because he was the only guy. Now he's got people around him. So he might not be legendary with 40 points, but I think he's going to be legendary again because that's how he's built. But legendary might be setting up other guys, and the other guys have to come through.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Douglas. I think the other guys have got to come up big here tonight. They need even better defense, I think, than what we have seen so far. Better defense, and they've played very, very well, I think, in the entire postseason on the defensive end of the floor. But the Clippers in game one shot 43% from three, and that really is going to be the key, I think, with the Clippers. I think it's going to be how they shoot the ball from three. This is a team that shot it very, very well during the regular season, 43%, as I said. And to me, this is going to be a situation where the Suns cannot allow any second-chance points as well. They want to shoot a three, that's fine, but you got to come down with the rebound. I think rebounding tonight is going to be critical, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
Now, that is inarguable. That the defensive end is going to be huge to make them very one-dimensional with Chris Paul. Monty Williams was asked about the defense running and turning it quickly into offense after game one.
Well, that's how we want to play every night. You know, when we get stops and can get the ball in flow off of a rebound, you know, that's the best way to score easy buckets.
So what do you think about things? You know what? I got this. Monty said something yesterday. The thoughts now that after he got to watch the film, see game one, and his thoughts on his defense. Yeah. It's really important. So I want you to be able to hear it. But before it's a minute long, and before we do that, I want somebody to be a winner.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hottest ticket in town game day giveaway.
Oh, yeah. This is our 8 o'clock hour winner. Now, only one name is being announced, so do not fill up the phone lines because you can't win unless your name is Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson.
Yes, Paul.
And guess what's awesome about this? West Side again. Paul Anderson from Glendale.
Hood.
Paul, you want to be a winner? Call us right now.
602-260-9870.
If Paul Anderson calls in the next 10 minutes, Paul, you have a pair of tickets for the hottest ticket game day giveaway to see Suns Clippers Game 2. However, if Paul does not call in the next 10 minutes, you can steal Paul's tickets, but you got to give him the 10 minutes. So don't call now. We'll tell you how you can be a winner coming up 10 minutes from right now.
Party people! Oh!
Yeah! And the crowd went wild, of course, and you grabbed your girl and went out on the dance floor, did you not? Because you thought it would be a good idea.
I said, man, it's lit right now.
But listen, Perk, that was just, this is just game one. We've already moved on to game two now. This is what happened at game one.
When a man loves a woman, he engages in bad dancing. Never forget that, my brothers.
It is Hitman.
You know I have to play it.
Blair it is.
We gotta have DeJuan Blair on.
This is old school right here, but it makes you feel good, doesn't it? It makes you feel like you could indeed bust it if
well, I'm
you
not,
had to.
I'm not letting you dance over Monty. So here is what Monty Williams had to say about, I watched the film, and now here's what I think about my defense in game one.
We were solid in some areas, and in some areas not so much. You know, we gave up a few corner threes that we want to try to stay away from. But I thought the physicality that we showed was decent. As I said yesterday, Jay and Mikhail, Cam and Torrey and Book, those are all like-sized guys. And so anytime we can use them to switch, it just keeps the ball in front and you don't have to get into rotations. But that's no different than any team. I mean, that's why the Clippers do it. You know, we still see areas where we can improve. We really have to close out to their feet, especially their shooters, and they have a lot of them. And we talked about that today. There was a lot of will and just energy out there on the floor, even when something broke down schematically. I thought the will of our players, especially to pursue rebounds, was really good. So as a coach, you're always looking for some sort of edge in an area where you can improve so you can get that much better. We talked about a few of those things today.
How about the fact he used the phrase solid and decent, but wasn't glowing about it?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Challenge
him. I love, man, is he's speaking right there at the end of the toughness of this team. Even when things broke down schematically, the will is what he was talking about of our team. That is the toughness, and nobody talks about the Phoenix Suns and their toughness enough. Talent is there. Teamwork is there. Toughness exists as well.
Again, if your name isn't Paul Anderson, don't call in because you can't win right now unless your name is Paul Anderson from Glendale. However, keep listening because so far, Paul hasn't called in yet.
Ooh, Paul.
So you can still steal his tickets, just not right now. So don't call in now, but keep listening. Make sure you're listening in the next beautiful part of the program, and we'll tell you what you can do to be a winner in the Suns' hottest ticket game day giveaway. Up next, the scary realization that we all should be having right now, and the five magic words that will send everybody and make everybody an arrogant person because they feel so good to say. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Thanks for listening to the two of us. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
In
about 15 minutes, this is really cool. Suns Western Conference Final Roundtable, and we've got Dr. Energy, John Bloom.
Bloomer.
Coming in, and Tim Kempton. I don't know what we want to call Tim Kempton, Dr. Strange or something like that.
M. Bloom is what we call Bloomer, let him
tell. Oh, really? I didn't realize Bloom, that.
Yes.
So that's coming up at 9 o'clock. Now, the most important thing on a lot of your mind right now, we have 2 minutes left to hear from Paul to get his tickets.
Paul.
So let's get an update on there. Maloney or Minch, has Paul called in to claim his 8 o'clock tickets?
Paul called.
Oh!
Yes, Paul!
Now, we're excited here on the Doug and Wolf Show that Paul called. I realize you are probably terribly depressed because that means you cannot steal Paul's tickets. So we went 1 for 2 so far. Jessica did not get her tickets, and they were stolen by who stole Jessica's tickets? I forget.
I believe it was Ray.
Ray, that's right. Ray stole Jessica's tickets. Paul called in and claimed his. If you want to make sure no one steals your tickets, text ticket right now to 620-620. And at some point in the 9 o'clock hour, and I'll give you a hint, it won't be at 9:45.
Yeah.
So make sure you're listening between 9 and 9:45 for your chance to be a winner. The first thing you got to do is listen for your name. So don't call in. Just wait to hear your name. And then if he doesn't call or she doesn't call, now is your chance to steal their tickets. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. This is the realization that I think we're allowed to have this conversation. Okay. I think a lot of you are going to blast me on Twitter. You won't like the conversation because you think somehow there's a jinx. Which, like, really, step up and think about this. Doug says something, Wolf says something, and it affects mankind's future of a basketball game.
Yeah, stop it, please.
You got to be smarter than that. So having said that, the Suns as players, coaches, as an organization, they have to feel the same way we do. Once Kevin Durant missed that shot in overtime, the Suns are the best team in the Final Four.
Yes.
Does not mean they're the champions.
Yes.
Does not mean
exactly
they're going to
right.
win seven
oh,
games.
Oh, my goodness, you got to say that.
Doesn't mean they're going to win their next seven games. But we're talking about a 9-2 playoff team.
Who's won 8 games in a row.
And they find different ways to beat you all the time. Whatever you throw at them, they're finding different ways to beat you. And the thing to overcome is themselves. This is no longer, to me, Paul George can beat you
yes.
in one game. I don't think he can single-handedly carry them to 4 of the next 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can do that. They have to get Kawhi Leonard back. But they can easily win game 2 if you ever think, hey, we're the best team here, that means we win.
Yes.
Jay Williams said something so amazing. They are the best team, but they play like they're not. That's exactly what you want.
That's what I love.
That's special.
It goes back to the talent. It goes back to the team. It goes back to the toughness of this team, the 3 T's. It's nobody talks about it. And when you go back to the Golden State Warriors as well, and when they were winning championships, ladies and gentlemen, it was the same thing. They never got the credit for being the tough team that they were. They never got the credit for being the defensive team that they were, because their offense was so overt. And I think a lot of the time when you look at Devin Booker, oh, look at the flashy Devin Booker, and you've got Chris Paul. Oh, my goodness. You've got the best point guard, one of the best point guards ever in the history. You look at DeAndre Ayton. You see Mikal Bridges draining some threes. It was the talent. Everybody was talking about the talent and the bright, shiny object. And yet they don't get that credit they deserve, I think, for being the defensive team that they are, for being tough. I'm talking about the kind of tough that you can withstand losing a Chris Paul, withstand a injured Chris Paul out there playing. A tough team that just focuses on the next possession. It doesn't matter if it's on the offensive end, the defensive end. It doesn't matter if it's in the first quarter. It doesn't matter what the score is, what the series is. All this team knows is the next possession. I truly believe they have this ability to be so myopic when it comes to that. I think it's the juice of this team. Their ability to get myopic on your face by just focusing on that next possession, whether it's offense or defense.
I'm just so jacked up of just look what Jay Williams said. Nothing changed in game one. They had to have that feeling, the same feeling. Wait, we're better than Atlanta. If we're healthy with Chris Paul, we can beat Milwaukee. And the way the Clippers are playing, and especially without Kawhi Leonard, we're better than them, but it didn't change. It didn't affect how they played or how they came about that game. That's what made game one so cool and why I have a lot of confidence they can do it again. Magic Johnson on ESPN yesterday.
Who you got in the East? I got Milwaukee. Experience, they're prime, they're ready, and Middleton is playing like an all-star right now.
What about the Clippers and Suns?
I think CP3 comes back and leads the Suns to the NBA Finals.
Milwaukee and Phoenix in the Finals.
I want Chris Paul to win.
So do I.
You know, because of what he's meant to the league. But I'm going to pick Milwaukee.
Because?
Because I think that they play the styles. They can beat you in so many different ways, right? If Giannis is playing on top of his game, Middleton on top of his game. And then I think Jrue Holiday will be able to control a little bit about what CP3 does in the finals. Not to stop him, right, but contain him.
Not so sure about that. That's just me. I think, again, I think the Suns, if in fact they have a healthy CP3, I think the Suns are more talented than even the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they've got more talent than the Bucks. I think they're a better team than the Bucks. And I think they've proven that this entire season.
Really interesting. I am not so sure on that one because I'm thinking of the matchups. Is DA ready?
Now, we've been saying that the whole post.
Well, we've been saying that for 2-3 years now.
But is he ready?
But Giannis is a beast that nobody is ready for. The thing is, that's so cool.
It's exactly what he needs.
Suns beat Milwaukee if Giannis wants the ball 35 feet from the basket and playing all of his games. Because I like Jay Crowder with Chris Middleton. Middleton's great. He's one of the most underrated players in the game. But I like Jay Crowder in that matchup. And I hate the Jrue Holiday matchup with either of the point guards. But here's the catch. Jrue Holiday doesn't run the point like a normal team. It's Giannis that does it.
Yes.
Well, the Suns beat them if Giannis does that. If Giannis doesn't listen, Suns win. But if they put the ball in Jrue Holiday's hands and he creates for everybody else, I'm worried about that. I'm not.
This is what
we can talk about this. The Suns can't. I'm not worried about the Clippers until Kawhi comes back.
You're talking about maybe the most athletic team that is left in this association, in the Phoenix Suns. The most athletic team in the most athletic league on the face of the planet, the NBA. For me, man, I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns, and I realize this, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe I'm a little too close to the forest to really see the trees and see them clearly. But to me, man, that forest looks real, real good. Looks like the Suns. I don't think there's a team that is better than the Phoenix Suns when you consider their talent, their teamwork, their toughness.
I told you there are five words that are going to make anybody arrogant. You can't help it. I got five words for you that will force you into a position you don't want to be and make the most humble among you feel like you're standing in a penthouse looking down at your peasants? The five words? The draft lottery is tonight.
We ought to have a button for that. Give me the sounder for that or something, Mitch. I mean, something.
We're not. You want to talk about odds? You want to talk about Orlando and Houston? We're not with you guys anymore. We've moved up from your neighborhood. Thank you. Coming up next, Suns Western Conference Roundtable. John Bloom, Tim Kempton. Who needs their guy more, CP3 or Kawhi? It's coming up next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.